Order.
This is question time. The principal purpose is to hold the government to account, but inevitably there will be political debate around questions and answers.
And Wednesday's questions included this one for the Prime Minister, John Key, from opposition leader Andrew Little.
Did the state house he grew up in have mould and leaks? And is it okay for kids today to live in mouldy, leaky, cold state houses because of lack of maintenance?
The Right Honourable Prime Minister.
Mr Speaker, no, not from memory. Obviously, the house would have been much more modern back then, given it was so many decades ago. But also, I will say that my mother took absolute pride in making sure that she kept the house clean, tidy and ventilated. But what I can say, Mr Speaker, is this government's proud of the fact that it's spending $300 million a year improving the mess we inherited from Labor. Their own house was never in order. It isn't in order at the moment. And no wonder we inherited some ones that aren't.
And Mr Key had this to say about Mr Little's party.
It's the same old story all the time with Labor. Hopeless in government, roaring like lions in opposition.
And as for his opponent's management of state housing,
Labor let those houses run down, they let those tenants get sick, and now in opposition they want to pass the buck to someone else. It's a disgrace, Mr. Little. It is a disgrace.
After dealing to Labor's leader, Mr. Key took this question from Greens co-leader Maturia Turei.
So what more information does the Prime Minister need to introduce a comprehensive rental warrant of fitness?
The Right Honourable Prime Minister.
Mr Speaker, from the Greens, none.
Now for something entirely different, with this question for the Prime Minister from New Zealand First MP Clayton Mitchell.
Was it his intention under National's Health and Safety Reform Bill to make paid school sport coaches and teachers legally culpable if children are injured or worse?
The Right Honourable Prime Minister.
Mr Speaker, we reject that proposition. I can assure the member that any time he wants to play Barbador with Winston Pease, he's free to do it, but don't catch him or he'll sulk.
The New Zealand First Leader took offence at that.
Mr Speaker, that is another unwarranted attack, which is going to lead to disorder.
The Speaker agreed, but first heard this from Mr Key.
I was simply referring to the comments I've seen by the Right Honourable Winston Peters himself that he was quick as lightning back in those days of the of his rugby career.
Order.
It may not be as quick now.
Order, this will not help the order. The Honourable Member Winston Peters actually raised a reasonable point. It's not necessary to continue to attack the power of the New Zealand First Party and the answers that are given by the Prime Minister.
Question time was followed by the Wednesday general debate, which included a sharp attack from the United Future member for Oahu, Peter Dunn, on the New Zealand Transport Agency, the NZTA.
We do have an agency here that, in my view, is now out of control.
Mr Dunn urged Transport Minister Simon Bridges to take the opportunity to restructure the NZTA.
Mr Speaker, it may be coincidental, but I note that the chief executive of the organisation has resigned effective from the end of the year. I want to say to the Minister that I think this creates an opportunity to restructure the NZTA, to make sure it becomes far less of an arrogant, we-know-best organisation that works closely with the local authorities and the people that it represents and serves, and implements solutions that meet the community's needs, not the aspirations of the engineers within the NZTA. And I think, sir, that the opportunity will be there with a new chief executive for a change of direction, and in the interests of a number of communities around New Zealand, I urge the Minister to take that course.
United Future's Peter Dunn speaking in the general debate, which was followed by the final two stages of a bill allowing bars to open in the early hours for selected matches in the Rugby World Cup. Down in the committee rooms, meanwhile, the Law and Order Committee was briefed by officials from the Attorney General's office on the relationship between the Bill of Rights Act and legislation implementing electronic monitoring of offenders. Michael Gill explained the role of the Attorney General's reports under Section 7 of the Act.
Section 7 requires the Attorney General to bring to the attention of the House any provision of a bill that appears to be inconsistent with the rights and freedoms affirmed in the Bill of Rights. This process is designed to ensure that decisions made by Parliament to limit fundamental rights and freedoms are not taken without its full knowledge and prior consideration.
Part of a briefing for the Law and Order Committee on the relationship between the Bill of Rights and the Electronic Monitoring of Offenders legislation bill currently before it. I'm Tom Frewen, and this program was made with funding from Parliament.